You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. Going to tell a story today, I think. Well, we're hoping it has a happy ending. You're going to like it. It does involve a heartbreaking twist of fate in it, and there are a couple of heroes. One's Adam Dean. One's Dale Dean. One is a 1955 International pickup truck. The villain, of course, in this one is cancer. We'll hopefully get to a happy ending, the taste of a Chicago dog, and a successful road trip for a cause. That's ahead. We'll also talk to the first Montanan elected as an officer of the NRECA Board of Directors. That's the National Rural Electric Cooperative Association. Chris Christensen is here today. It is our debut, Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine, today on Voices.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio, from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
And it's Friday. Holy cow, does that not feel good? We have hung in there, those five long, and they are long working days. And I know that it is Friday, and so only two more working days this week. That's something still to celebrate, but thanks for hanging in there with us. Appreciate that. That's 22 years, two decades strong, working on three. Couple of things to hit on today, as it is our debut of Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine. Pretty cool magazine. It's been going on and on for a number of years. I think it's Montana's largest publication, as a matter of fact, with over 120,000. Is that right? I know who to ask because he's the guy who puts it together all the time. And with us here today, we'll get to the story of this really cool road trip Adam Dean is taking on behalf of his father, and in this 1955 International pickup truck. That's just going to be here in just a bit. Chris Christensen is with us, too. As I mentioned, recently elected as president of the NRECA, board member of Norval, which is up in the Valley. Well, it's Glasgow, parts of Glasgow area. I mean, Valley, Daniels, and Roosevelt County. So you got they're based in Glasgow, but it's Hinsdale, the Wolf Point, north to the border, Opine, Peerless, Scobie, big area up there in northeastern Montana. So first, let's welcome Chris Christensen. Good morning, Chris. How's it going?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm hanging in. And it's Friday, so, you know, only two more working days this week.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Ryan Hall, how you doing, Ryan?
Doing good. How you doing this morning, Tom?
Hanging in. Communications Director, Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Rural Montana Magazine. This is Rural Montana Live. It is 120,000, right? That's a heck of a publication.
Yeah, we're about 125,000 a month right now. We've come up recently, and we're pretty proud of that.
All right, and you're going to be writing about Chris next week because congratulations, Chris, on this election as Montana's first elected officer, president of the National Rural Electric Cooperatives Association. But you have served on that board in various various positions previously. Talk about what NRECA is, and of course, what are some of the main challenges that you're going to be facing as president?
Well, actually, I've been on the board for about 7 years now, but 4 years ago, I was elected as a secretary treasurer, and that's the biggest hurdle, is to get elected as a secretary treasurer. And a secretary treasurer, you put in 2 years, and then if everything goes right, there is an election, you are moved up into the vice president position. And as vice president, you work with the president and learn the ropes, so to say. And then with another election here in February, I was elected as president of the national organization, and I've been serving in that capacity since then.
So there's plenty of chances to weed you out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You bet. Yeah. Yeah.
But are some of the challenges that you'll be facing this year as president?
Well, you know, basically, we do a lot of work at NRECA. Our headquarters, of course, are in Washington, D.C., and there are over 960 co-ops in the United States. In fact, there's co-ops in 48 of the 50 states. So I'm representing all of those. There's about 40 million people who get their electricity from the rural electric co-ops.
Yeah.
So I'm the president of that group. and a lot of ours is GR, is government relations, and working with legislators. In fact, we have our legislative fly-in is what we used to call it back when you could travel. Now it's going to be all virtual, but that starts next week, and we'll be in D.C. remotely for a week to visit with all of our legislators. And basically what we're looking at this year is, you know, a lot of people get their funding for the co-ops through the RUS, or Rural Utility Service, and they were a source for low-interest loans. But the fact that some of those loans are 20, 30, 40 years old, the interest rates are very high on those. So basically what we're working on right now is to get that repricing so we can pay off those loans at the lower interest rate, which actually we've done some research. That would save Montana co-ops $25 million. So that's one of the big things we're working on. The other thing is, you know, basically years ago, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, people came to the co-ops and said, we need to invent a system where we can get electricity out to these rural areas. Well, right now, they looked at the success we've had in that respect, and they said, could you do broadband? So now those people at the end of the line are saying, we don't have broadband, and we need it for everyday life. For us to be successful, we have to have broadband. So there's quite a few co-ops out there that are trying to provide broadband in areas that are not economically suitable for the existing systems. So we're doing that, and actually there's quite a bit of money available, and a lot of that has come through because of lobbying from organizations such as NRECA. Also, one of the big things we're working on right now is we know that with the new administration, climate policy is going to change. We were doing really well working with the last administration, and hope that we can continue to do that with the new administration, but we know we can expect different opinions. So we're constantly working to stay ahead of those and make sure that whatever happens is good for the co-op members, to make sure that electricity stays reliable, affordable, and safe. Am I talking?
No. Keep going, because I think you said that you probably have another thing on your plate that's going to weigh on you.
Well, the other thing is they're providing energy tax incentives to allow the investor-owned co-ops. We just want to make sure that those same tax incentives are available for the co-ops. You know, us being a not-for-profit, sometimes that affects us different. So it takes a little bit of work and a little bit of lobbying to make sure that we write up those bills that are coming down the line to make sure that they help co-ops in the same way.
Boy, that's a list. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off. I was going to say, boy, that's a list to go off of, for sure. Ryan Hall also with us here. Ryan, you're more of a co-host, Ryan. You're the communications director with the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. It's Rural Montana Live here on Voices of Montana. Chris Christensen, the new, president of the NRECA. I didn't want to cut you off, Chris. Was there something else that we should know about that you guys will be working on that's important for us?
Well, you know, the only other really, the really big thing, one of the really big things that NRECA does is we provide the investment and the insurance for the co-op employees. So that's something else that we, I mean, that's a multi-billion dollar industry that we have. We also do, we basically take care of every problem or every concern that co-ops could have. And that all comes through our DC offices.
Thank you. Ryan, where do you want to start? Should we start with RUS?
That's as good as any. I know that's a big issue, and I know that we've been working on our congressional delegation. That's something that I think we've been working on since last year, right, Chris?
Yes.
So why is that not a done deal, Chris? RUS, I mean, I know we made some improvement, made some movement on it in that last session, and I guess maybe it's because we've got a new Congress here. But and as maybe politics played too big a role in it in 2020, but that just seems like a no-brainer.
Well, you know, it's very hard to get standalone legislation to pass. So we've been trying to attach this bill to some of the COVID relief bills. And I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to get it done. I'm very confident that we will get it done. It's just going to take some time. And this current one that's out there that we're trying to attach it to, it's so complicated and so lengthy. And talking to our group, that is the lobbying group down there, they think it could take 6 months to a year to get this accomplished. I hope it'll be faster than that. But you know as well as I do how fast things move in Washington, D.C.
Yes. Yeah, I do. And you're right. Standalone legislation is real tough. But you talk about, you know, is there anything outside of that that might complicate it? I mean, the savings issue here is huge, and I don't see how anybody can't get on board with allowing you guys to refinance those loans at what kind, you know, because we're handing out money left and right, and that's going to help on the broadband thing. But the interest rates are real cheap right now. Is there anything else in there, Chris, that might kind of clog that up?
I just think the vast amount of legislation they're working on, sometimes it's hard to bring something that is important to us to the forefront. We work on that, and it is common sense, but common sense isn't all that common sometimes back there. So we're just going to keep working, and we're going to get it done, but it could take a while.
Ryan Hall, you've been a part of that effort with the legislative team for Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. What's the feedback that you get from lawmakers on that?
That's more of a national level thing, so Chris actually has a better pulse on those type of things than we do. So I think he's got a good read on that from what he was telling you.
All right. Well, we'll be monitoring that because those savings, that's real dollars. What would you guys do with that money, Chris? What would the rural electric cooperatives do with those kinds of savings?
Well, the rural electric cooperative wouldn't be the one to benefit. It would be the local co-ops, those local co-ops
right.
that have the loans with RUS. You know, there's basically three places that we can borrow money for infrastructure, and that's CFC, which is the Cooperative Funding Corporation. There's CoBank, and then the RUS. So those are the three people that are basically competing for our lending. And, you know, anybody that's had a house loan, sometimes when you get a loan, they don't want to let you pay it off early. And that's kind of what we're experiencing a little bit with this legislation.
Yeah.
And, Tom, you've got to remember, too, it's really important that with electric co-ops, any decision that's financial benefits the members at the end of the line because we're not profit member owned. So when there's that savings, you ask, what do? It directly benefits the members because they don't have to now finance those things and pay those higher interest rates through their rates and such.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting at. Member owned cooperatives, the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association, among them, Norval, a member of MECA, and also Chris Christensen with us here as he's the president of the National Rural Electric Cooperatives Association. When you took over, we got about a minute and a half here. When you saw what was on the plate, though, coming up to this position, Chris, what do you bring to the table?
Well, I think being from a smaller co-op and being from the West, you know, people, one of the things that I bring is people are very interested because of the situation that I'm in. I'm a cow-calf producer. I'm the only guy in Washington, it seems like, that's wearing a cowboy hat in that area. It's amazing what, you know, what people, they think we're just a little different back here, and we are. I know I was back, and one of the employees came up to me, and they had been watching Yellowstone, and they said, man, is your ranch just like the Yellowstone? Are you like John Dutton? Is that the situation back there? And I explained that I'd been in ranching for 40 years, and I'd never had to take anybody to the train station yet. So I mean, they're just interested in what's going on. And I think because of that, I may be able to have an effect where people will listen.
Well, Ryan, isn't that, the title of your next article?
Yeah, it's NRECA's Cowboy President is actually kind of the working title as we work now.
Chris, how are things on the ranch?
Oh, we could stand some higher prices, and we're looking for a little rain. But the calves are coming about 30 or 40 a day, so we're busy.
Yeah, and I've heard, too, that at least the warm weather at this point, you know, I know you need the moisture. April, we're keeping an eye on it, but it doesn't hurt when it's time to calve, does it, when you get some nice weather?
No, we have had nice weather for calving.
Yeah. All right. We got a lot more to come on back and talk about here as we're talking with Chris Christensen, Ryan Hall. This is Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine, from Montana, for Montana, Voices of Montana. Always a fan of that cooperative model around here, and you heard Chris Christensen talk about it. There's over 40 million member owners of electric cooperatives across the United States. Other facts here show that more than 900 local systems in 48 states are operating, and it is the largest electric utility network in the nation. Strength in numbers there. Chris Christensen with us here on Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine, which is brought to you by Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Their communications director is Ryan Hall, co-hosting today.
Hey, thanks, Tom. Chris, I had a question for you. After our visit on the ranch, where we got some great pictures of you and your horse, you talked to me a little bit about the importance of riding the right horse and your goals for education. Can you maybe tell people a little bit about that and kind of your theme that you're working on?
Yeah. You know, at the national level, I'm going to be giving a lot of speeches, and I have already. And one of the things that I came up with is I think NRECA does such a great job of working on behalf of the electrical co-ops. But, you know, an old cowboy saying is if you're going to get the job done, you got to be riding the right horse. I mean, if you're team roping, if you're dragging calves, if you're cutting, you want to have a cutting horse if you're cutting. So riding the right horse is kind of the thing that I'm going to talk about a little bit as I start. And my theme is education. I've been involved in education. I was a shop ag teacher and FFA advisor for 13 years. And anyway, I just think that's really important that co-op directors get as much education as they can so they can make the right decisions for their co-ops. And, you know, virtually is an easy way to do it. And also when we get back to the in-person meetings, which we're all hoping happens in the very near future, those educational opportunities in front of a live educator are so important. But, you know, I watched a movie here a while back, a long time ago, and The Man from Snowy River, there's an episode in there where all the other cowboys quit the Brumbies because they go over a steep cliff, and then the hero of the story dodges over the edge. And we're trying to get permission to use that for my speech so I can kind of emphasize what riding the right horse really means. And so we're working on that right now as we try to put together some of the words that I will be using to influence other co-op directors.
Boy, in the world of politics, got to ride the right horse. I mean, I can see that in a sign somewhere. Let's move over just a little bit to broadband, okay? There's a lot of infrastructure money that's probably going to be available for broadband, both at the state level, at the national level. I know the big corporations, they've stayed away from rural America because the dollars aren't there. And that's why, as you said, 50 years ago, you know, the cooperatives were born for that reason. There is, though, a movement by some of these national corporations to let these cooperatives place the broadband structures or, you know, compete for the infrastructure and then come in and offer a price for it, which I don't suppose is a real bad model. But how does that play into the future as, you say, more and more electric cooperatives are looking at expanding the broadband?
You know, some of the telephone cooperatives are doing such a great job. Here in our area, the electrical co-op has done such a great job of bringing broadband. I have broadband right into my home here, and in the Hinsdale area, I think they were able to be progressive and get some grants, and they're working hard to do that. But that's not the case everywhere. Some places do not have it at the end of the line, and we have places that still don't have good phone coverage. But we have determined, and the people have determined, that broadband is so important for us to move forward and be economically adaptable for the new things that are out there. That basically what we're doing is making sure that everyone's treated the same, everyone's treated fairly. So as we work and try to find a way to make this economically affordable, you know, electricity is basically a monopoly when you're in that area, but broadband's not. So it's a different model than we're used to. And we just have to make sure that we do it in the right way so that our customers, our member owners, are not put at risk.
You know, and that's an interesting point. Ryan, did you have a follow-up?
No, I think Chris really hit it well there. Montana is very different, and the fact that we have the telecoms doing what they're doing, like Chris said, there's certainly a balance there.
Yeah, and it's also interesting, too, as you look ahead, electricity is regulated because it's a necessity. You don't want it to be over-manipulated, and I think the cooperative model really upholds that model well. But broadband, it's almost falling into that same category, isn't it, Chris?
Yes, I think so. That's what we're deciding is it isn't something you wish you had. It's something you need. And that's why we're working so hard with that. And then, you know, when your customers, when your members ask you for something, you know, co-ops respond. It's just such a great business model. And, you know, every member has a vote. So what they want is what we work towards.
Do you think that they're going to be over-regulated? Do you think that, like utility commissions, like, well, we have the PSC in Montana, but you've got the FCC. You've got a lot of people that are involved in this broadband picture. Does that hinder the process?
Well, it complicates it. I don't claim to have a knowledge of every state, and every state has different laws.
Right.
And that's kind of the complication when you're working through a national organization, is you need to work with each one of those states individually. And MECA, one of the reasons I'm in this position is because MECA, Montana Electric Cooperatives, have been so progressive. They have done so much to work forward. We've had people in almost every leadership role at the including resolutions and at the national level. Montana has done so much, and we're working towards that, as are the other states. RESMA, which is a Rural Electric Managers Corporation, has a group of people that are nothing less than amazing, and everybody works hard to make sure that those laws get written in a way that will benefit our members.
I don't know what your time commitment is. Do you have 5 more minutes for us?
Yes.
All right. I got to take a headline break here, but I want to come on back and save some time for climate policy, as you talked about, 40 million across the country, but MECA itself, 400,000 Montanans are served by electric cooperatives, and more you're looking at generation those kinds of assets kind of coming into play. So I want to talk about, as the president of the NRECA, climate policy. It'll be broad, it's wide open, but I'm really looking to get your thoughts on where electric cooperatives are going to go in the future. So we got to take a break, and we've got headlines. It's Eric Young on Voices of Montana. It's Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine, both brought to you by the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Trying to rush here before we hit that heartbreak at 9:35, and get some comments from Chris Christensen, who's the president of the NRECA, newly elected, first Montana there. Again, congratulations on that. Climate policy. I understand that you're going to be involved in that in a big way, huh?
Yes. As president, I was supposed to pick the theme for our next meeting, which is later this week, next week, actually. And I picked climate and the climate policy and what we need to work on. So basically, we're going to go back for a strategic thinking meeting, and we're going to educate ourselves even more to prepare for the differences. We have a lineup of speakers. Some of them are what I would call on the right. Some of them are on the left. But of the 48 directors, we know that we need more information. Robert Bryce is one of the speakers. In fact, he's the very first one on the level. He was at Montana earlier, and he was sponsored by CFC, the lending institution that I talked about earlier. And basically, he talked about the complications as we move towards electric vehicles. And he will talk a lot about the situation that just happened in Texas, and what we need to do to prepare and be ready and diversify in order to keep providing reliable electricity.
Is generation a big part of that picture?
Right. Yes, generation. You know, as some environmentalists move to decrease the amount of generation, anything from breaching dams to not having methods of generation that they're against,
yeah,
including coal, that has a tremendous effect. So we have to continue. You know, we're in all of the above. NRECA believes in all of the above. We need to have a variety of ways to produce electricity and deliver electricity if we are going to keep this base load available. And you know what happened in Texas is part of that problem we want to address. Also, at the last meeting, we had worked very hard to get Keystone permitted, the Keystone Pipeline. And at one point, we thought we had it, and it came off the resolutions. But we were able to, in the 11th hour, bring that back to NRECA. Ms. Bergman from Big Flat Electric was able to get that on. It had to pass with a two-thirds vote, which it did. And we put that back on the system. So now NRECA is working to do whatever they can to get Keystone reinstated.
Yeah, we're going to have to continue to put a lot of pressure to get that done. Real quickly, though, are the electric cooperatives looking at becoming more and more of their own energy providers?
Well, you know, we talked about a lot of different ways, and there are co-ops throughout the nation that are producing, generating their own electricity. But no matter how we do it, we're still part of the grid. We're part of that grid service. You know, there's the east and the west grid, and then it's broken up into seven or eight different smaller grid distribution centers.
We'll have to leave it at that. We'll have to leave it at that, Chris, and come on back and talk more, all right? Appreciate your public service. See you down the road, all right?
All right, thank you.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
The fastest hour in Montana radio continues. Call 1-866-627-5483 and join Montana's statewide radio talk show, Voices of Montana, with Tom Schultz.
Man, I feel like I'm a geek sometimes when it comes to energy. I love the topic. I think it's something that we got to keep understanding and prevent it from being manipulated. It's just so valuable to us, and I think Montana can be an energy leader. So forgive me if I get rushed and feel like, like I say, I'm a bit of an energy geek. But so is Ryan Hall. Ryan Hall, co-host here for this edition of Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine, both brought to you by the Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. Hey, Ryan, is it fair to call you an energy geek, too?
Oh, absolutely. I'll wear that title proudly.
And you do a great job with this magazine. I want to set up what we're going to be hearing now as I caught up with Adam Dean last night. And great story find. Good job reporting on this, Rural Montana Magazine. Can people pick this up, by the way? Where do people get Rural Montana Magazine?
Well, if you're an electric co-op subscriber, which 40% of the state is, you get it already at home.
Yep.
If you're not, you'll find it in a lot of rural doctor's offices, libraries, all those type of things. And you can always get a hold of us here at the office or on our website, and we can set people up with subscriptions and get those to them as well.
All right. You've got like 40 seconds to set up this story with Adam Dean.
Oh, there's so much more than 40 seconds in this story.
He'll tell it.
But the main thing is I was told about this gentleman who had a bond with his dad through a pickup truck that his dad originally owned, and he got it back and was able to restore it so that his dad could drive it, and his dad got to drive it one time before he tragically had his life taken by cancer. And now Adam's going to do an amazing road trip in honor of his dad and raise money to hopefully beat this beast that has affected, I think, all of us.
I caught up with Adam last night. He was unable to make it today, but had a great conversation with him regarding this. And we'll pass out the numbers and how you can contribute or be a part of it. But here is Adam Dean on Rural Montana Live. Why don't you start off by telling me the story behind this truck? Now, I know from reading Rural Montana Magazine that it was in the family since it was driven off the lot brand new in 1955?
Yes, it started out in Billings, Montana on the lot, and my dad's uncle Rankin bought the pickup.
Was it like a work truck? Why is it it stayed in the family for quite a while, didn't it?
It stayed in the family till about the mid-70s, and Dad ended up selling it one winter to buy propane for the house.
That in itself is a story, isn't it?
Yep. So Dad said he drove it over to where it sat there at the nursing home, and it sat there for almost 42 years.
How many times did he tell you that he drove by that truck and said, one of these days I'm going to get that back, Adam?
You know, he lived in Circle for, oh, I don't know, 30-some years. So, you know, I don't know if he ever drove over there or not and looked at it. I couldn't tell you.
See, then he bought it back in 2018. And I think, as the story says again in Rural Montana Magazine, it was kind of in a little bit of rough shape, huh?
Yeah, it was in pretty rough shape. The mice had gotten into it and ate all the wiring harness out of it. And the windows were all shot out of it. And the parts harvesters had stole some parts and grill emblems and a lot of stuff off of it. And the engine was seized up and the brakes were all froze up and the transmission was froze up and the rear end was all froze up. And it probably should have just went to the dump, but Dad wanted to get it running again, so I got it running again.
I want to talk about that process. Adam Dean is with us here as we talk about this road trip for a cause. But obviously it meant something to your father. Was he able to express why or why it meant something to him and the family?
It was his uncle's pickup. So
he went honey hunting
in it. Yeah, he went honey hunting in it. So he was wanting to get that pickup running again. And I think I spent more time on it than he was wanting. And that was kind of the joke or the ribbing I was giving him. You know, when he'd come up to my shop, he'd tell me that I'm spending a heck of a lot of time on this old pickup. I'd say, Dad, when I'm done with it, you'll build a drive to Chicago for a hot dog.
Maybe that wasn't the plan to start with, but it wound up being the plan then, huh?
Yeah, I was sitting here talking about it with my sister and family at Christmas time, and she had asked me, well, you gonna do it? I said, well, I might someday when I retire, but we got to scheming and coming up with a plan to try to raise some money for the Cancer Research Institute.
Well, and that takes us to this tragic part of the story, is that during this time, and it wasn't the first time that your father, Dale, had battled cancer, but he was able to drive the truck, Adam. Talk about what that might have meant to you and to him.
Well, I knew his cancer was pretty bad, and I was pretty adamant that I wanted him to be able to drive that pickup. So I was working on it early in the morning before I even went to work, and after work, and on the weekends to make sure he was able to drive it. So he did get to drive it, and he got to take quite a few rides in it, you know, when he was taking his chemo, and I'd come pick him up, and we'd drive around town.
Yeah. I know you won't be able to share that Chicago dog with him, but he's going to be with you on this trip, isn't he?
I would imagine he's probably laughing at us right now.
He might be laughing because, Adam, 45 miles an hour to Chicago? Are you crazy?
Yeah, that's going to be... It's going to be quite a trip, I'm sure.
Now, come on. 45 miles an hour. And I'm sorry for your loss of your father. But I'm real happy, and I'm proud of you for not letting it prevent you from moving forward with this. I want to talk a little bit about this road trip for a cause, but can't you push it to 50? Isn't it? It's a 55 international. It's got to go 55.
Well, you know, I don't think the internationals are made for road vehicles at the time. It's got a 5:13 gear ratio in it, so it's very low geared. It'll be a push to get 47, 50 mile an hour out of it.
Well, there are some, it's mostly flat, but there's some downhill and some uphill too. This thing looks really classic. This is in Rural Montana Magazine, the story written by Ryan Hall here as we're on Voices of Montana. It's Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show for Rural Montana Magazine. You're not going to paint this truck. And those rims look almost original too.
Well, yeah, the rims and the hubcaps are all original to the pickup. Well, everything's original to the pickup other than the wiring harness. I had to harvest a wiring harness out of a 56 International to put in it, but it's all original.
It sat for 42 years, so it doesn't even have 50,000 miles, does it?
Well, I think the odometer says 47,000 some odd miles on it.
Yep, true mileage on that. Why are you not going to paint it?
Well, I just know my dad wouldn't have ever painted it. He would have drove it just like it is, so that's the way I'm going to keep it.
You can kind of appreciate the way it looks. I mean, it's got that classic, old truck, rusted brown with and a little green on the side. The rims are a bright red. It kind of has that real, it's pretty enough as it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the pickup originally was red. I mean, the firewall and the interior is all red in it yet.
Where'd that green color come from?
You know, I don't know if that was the primer in its day, but it was definitely a red pickup. My Uncle Rankin's daughter is still alive, and she remembers the day her dad drove it off the lot. So she remembers a shiny red International.
Yeah, you can still see some of the red there. Adam Dean is with us here on Voices of Montana. We're talking about this road trip and loving memory of his father, Dale Dean, who passed away, I guess it was almost, well, This December, so a year and a half ago.
December of 2019, yeah.
Yeah. Cancer affects everybody, Adam. And we say on this show frequently that, that we hate cancer. And I know it has affected you guys in a personal way. But how does it make you feel that you're not going to be a victim of cancer? What you're going to be is a cancer survivor and somebody who does something about this disease.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, hoping to give some money to research of it and hopefully help some people down the road.
Are you going to have some help? You're going to have you're going to have a spotter? You're going to pick up some traffic along the way?
Well, there's some people that have wanted to follow me. My sister and her husband are going to follow along with me, and my brother's going to stand back, and, you know, if we have some issue, he'll be able to come help us, but I don't anticipate having any issue at all. I went through every nut and bolt on this pickup, so shouldn't have a problem.
That's cool. A lot of confidence in that. I suppose those parts are kind of hard to come by.
Yeah, there was a few items that were really difficult to come up with, and had to do some machining to get some parts to fit to the standard seals of today, but everything's sealed up tight, and it's roadworthy.
You know, the story is about a father and a son and a pickup truck. And as I said earlier today, the villain is cancer. But the truck, it almost has a life of its own, doesn't it?
Yeah. I get quite a few looks and thumbs up when I drive the pickup, that's for sure.
Well, you keep driving it, and we're going to stay in touch with you. I know you're taking off in September for folks who want to donate and to help fight cancer, because the money is going to go to – where's the money going to?
All the money is going directly to the Cancer Research Institute. I'm not using any of the money to fund the trip in any way. I'm paying for my own fuel and paying for my own room and board and meals, and every dollar I get is going right to the Cancer Research Institute.
Thank you for that. I know that'll make you and your mom, Sandy, and your family feel a lot better, and that you're doing something about it. And I think you can take a lot of pride in this trip. For folks who want to help, how do they get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of one of these T-shirts?
We have it set up on Facebook at Dale's Old International Road Trip, and also on Instagram. And if you're able to get on there, you can look up how to purchase a T-shirt there. Or they're welcome to call me and my mother, and we'll get you a T-shirt.
All right, I'll give out those phone numbers here in just a bit. Does the truck have a name?
Rankin is what we call it. And that was the name of my dad's uncle that bought a brand new Rankin Dean. So we call it Rankin.
Well, you and Rankin and the family, be safe on the road. Enjoy the trip. And we're going to continue to cheer for you along the way. And as you take off in September, we're going to circle back with you. And hopefully we'll get a call on the road. And dude, I'm telling you, you're going to love that Chicago dog. You ever had one?
I haven't. No, I'm looking forward to it. I might, like the article said, I might have to eat two of them.
Highly recommend it. Spend some time there. Again, thanks for being with us. Good luck to you, Adam.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Adam Dean. We'll talk more about that. I got to take a quick break. We'll come on back and give out some of those phone numbers and how you can follow it on Instagram. It is Dale's Road Trip to Drive Out Cancer on Facebook as well. And this is Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine, brought to you by Montana Electric Cooperatives Association on Voices of Montana. A 1955 International with Adam Dean in it. This road trip for a cause. It'll go Lewistown to Baker, Baker to Watertown, South Dakota, from there to Cresco, Iowa, to Crystal Lake, Illinois, and then he'll hop into Chicago for a Chicago dog. And again, that's all for a cause. I want to give out his phone number real quick. Adam Dean here, part of Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine. It is 406-366-0169. It's in the magazine here, so feel free to call Adam and to order a T-shirt. I did that. That's how I hooked up with him yesterday. 406-366-0169. Again, you can also follow him on Instagram. It's Dale's International Road Trip, and also Facebook, too. You can contact him at Dale's Road Trip to Drive Out Cancer. Ryan Hall, co-host here on Rural Montana Live. You know, his goal is $5,000, Ryan, but I think the people of Montana can probably do better.
There's no doubt about it. We've done a couple calls for things over the years. A few years ago, you may remember there was an orphanage in Mexico that needed some money to bring a power line in, and we raised three times what they needed. Montana is a overgrown small town, I think, and we really like to support each other, and we've all been touched by cancer. So if everybody who's been touched by cancer could call and buy one shirt, he'd crush that goal, and maybe we'd get closer to having the research to crush cancer. So I think Montanans can step up, and I would really welcome them to give him a call. He's a good, genuine guy who really misses his dad, and I'd love to see some good come out of this story.
Rolling Blackouts, a part of this latest Rural Montana magazine, the April edition, a tribute to a fallen lineman. That's from Glacier Electric's Les Costell. Just a lot of good stuff in here. You have the delegation weigh in on things. What's upcoming in for us down the road?
Well, next month we're kind of focusing on Memorial Day, and we've got some great stories for you. We've already talked to Chris, so you'll know that we have a story coming about him and his goals as president, some of which you've heard today. But in Shelby, Montana, they have one of those huge flags like what you have in Billings and we have in Great Falls. It's 1,500 square feet, which is bigger than my first house. And Shelby is a small town that has that, and Marias River Electric helps them maintain it and keep it up and flying. So we've got a story about that. And then we also have a story. There's a gentleman in Great Falls who recently spoke at a co-op annual meeting who is a tomb guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier.
Ah, well, that's cool. And that's what Rural Montana Magazine is about. I think it's a really cool publication, Ryan. I know you put your heart and soul into it, as does Montana Electric Cooperatives Association. So thank you for that.
Thank you for having us. I've really enjoyed this morning.
Yeah, it's been great. Rural Montana Live, the statewide radio show of Rural Montana Magazine, brought to you by Mecca. From Montana for Montana. My thanks to Eric Young, our in-studio engineer. You guys have a super weekend. We'll see you Monday.
You've been listening to Voices of Montana. Comments and opinions heard are those of the host or callers, and not necessarily those of this station, sponsors, or Northern News Network. Join us Monday through Friday at 9:06 for Voices of Montana.